Heavenly Father, knowing you, that is truly the greatest treasure that we can have. Father, the fact that you found it fitting to save us, wretched sinners, to adopt us into your family, to call us your own, to continue to faithfully conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to continue to use us to preach the gospel so that souls can be found. What a great privilege it is to be your children. What a great privilege it is to have the Word of God in our language and to be able to read it and to study it and to abide in it and to faithfully obey your commands. To know that you are sovereign, that you are mighty, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. That right now you are on your throne and your will is being done. What a great privilege it is to be your child. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can gather together and worship. May we not take that for granted. We ask that you would bless our time together through the reading and preaching of your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good evening. It's good to be with you this afternoon as we come and we celebrate and lay hands on Mike Samuels. This time we gather together for his ordination service. Now, ordination describes the biblical concept of God's appointment, of a man into the gospel ministry. Now, this is when a church declares, as we are coming together this evening, that we affirm that Mike is called by God, that we put our church name next to him, and we promise to hold Mike accountable in his calling. And his calling is not from us, his calling is from the Lord. And so as a church, we are called to continue to pray for him. We're called to encourage him. We're called to strengthen him. That's one of the things that you see so clearly from the Apostle Paul, do we not? He wrote letter after letter of encouragement after encouragement to churches that he had founded and people he had poured his life into. That's what we're called to do. This calling begins with an upward call. An upward call. God gifts a man to serve as a pastor or elder, and the man meets the qualifications according to the Word of God. His character, his household, his gifting, his doctrine, and his commitment. The fact that he desires and aspires to be a pastor. It's the upward call of God. And there's the inward call. The man whom the Lord gifts will aspire and desire to serve as an elder or a pastor. Meaning over a period of time to the church he is in, the church will know it. With Mike, there's no question. He told everybody, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. And his words did not go on deaf ears, number one. And number two, you saw it in his life. He was asking questions. He was wanting people to pour into his life. And we saw that. And over time, we saw he was gifted to preach the Word of God. He was not just a man that declared something with his mouth and did not back it up with his life. His words matched his life. The inward call. The inward call is so strong that he will not be content doing anything else. Charles Spurgeon said in lectures to his students, he says, this desire should be one which continues with us, a passion which bears the test of trial, a longing from which is quite impossible for us to escape, though we may have tried to do so, a desire, in fact, which grows more intense by the lapse of years until it becomes a yearning, a pining, a famishing to proclaim the word. This intense desire is so noble and beautiful a thing that whenever I perceive it glowing in any young man's bosom, I am always slow to discourage him, even though I may have my doubts as to his abilities and may be needful for reason to be given for further on to repress the flame, but it should always be reluctantly and wisely done. I have such a profound respect for this fire in the bones that if I did not feel it myself, I must leave the ministry at once. He says, if you do not feel the consecrated glow, I beseech you, return to your homes and serve God in your proper spheres. For as assuredly the coals of juniper blaze within, do not stifle them, unless indeed other considerations of great moment should prove to you that desire is not a fire of heavenly origin. Now, over time, there is no doubt that in Mike we saw fire in his bones. And as Spurgeon said, he tried to go do everything else that he could possibly do. I need to do this to see if it's what the Lord has called me to do. I need to try this. Maybe it's being a police officer. And none of it worked out. Because a calling on the man of God to serve as a pastor is just that. It is a calling, and it will be undeniable. So you have the upward call, you have the inward call, and then you have the outward call. The question, does Foundation Baptist Church recognize and affirm this call? And the answer is, yes, we do. Yes, we do affirm that call. 2 weeks ago at the Ordination Council with Mike and Brooke, I made this statement. We would not be here tonight if Foundation did not believe that Mike was called to serve as a pastor. We have spent quality time with Mike. We have seen his desire and his aspire to serve. And he has voiced his yearning to preach the word. As we have gathered on Sunday night, as we gathered together in that little room, Mike and Brooke affirmed biblical truth. That was precious. To ask theological questions and to hear affirmation after affirmation of God's word. The council encouraged them and they encouraged us, and the word of God was lifted high and the Lord was glorified. And today is a celebration as well as a charge. A celebration and a charge. We celebrate what God has done in the life of Mike, and we as Foundation charge you, Mike, to fulfill your calling according to the Word of God. Richard Baxter, in his book Reformed Pastor, which Pastor Keith made me read about 3 years ago, walking through that with him, he said this concerning men who are called. And if you picked up a bulletin, and it's on the back of your bulletin this evening. It says, God hath determined in his word, there shall be such an office, and what the work and power of that office shall be, and what sort of men as to their qualifications shall receive it. None of these can be undone by man or made unnecessary. God also giveth men the qualifications which he requireth. So that all the church hath to do, whether pastors or people, ordainers or electors, is but to discern and determine which are the men that God hath thus qualified, and to accept of them that are so provided, and upon consent to install them solemnly in this office. What an obligation then is laid upon us by our call to the work. And we praise be to God that we can do that here this evening, because number one, the Word of God is preached here. And number two, the people of God understand the Word of God. So for the next few minutes, Mike, Brooke, church family, let's be reminded of God's holy Word over the next few minutes. The truth, there's one, that the Word of God is sufficient. The Word of God is infallible. It is inerrant, and it is authoritative. Let's be reminded of those truths this evening. Because I promise you, in our culture, it's lost. In most of our churches today, it's lost. So let's be reminded of that. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles, there's one in front of you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. By God's sovereign hand, Mike preached up through 15 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. For context, let's just be reminded, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's writing to Timothy, and Timothy is at the church of Ephesus. This church is going through massive turmoil. They are struggling. They're going through hard and difficult times. They have abandoned the word of God. Foolishness has been taught and preached among the people. They have been swerving. You have individuals who have left the faith. They have gone out from us, proving to not be saved at all. And so many things are going on in this church. And he is talking to young Timothy, a man that he has poured his life into, encouraging him to continue to just preach the word of God, to stand up and declare, thus saith the Lord, to hold high the truth of the word. And let's be reminded of the bittersweetness of this as well. Paul is about to die. Later on in this letter, he encourages Timothy to come to him soon, so he can see him face to face and they can fellowship just one more time. He's passing on the baton. The day of the apostles is over. And he's pointing Timothy to how to preach the word of God, how to lead this wayward church. The first thing we need to be reminded of is God's word is sufficient. God's word is sufficient. Many pastors have forsaken the word of God for entertainment and for the thoughts of men. The Bible is the breathed out words of God. The reading and exposition of the word is powerful. Mike, just preach the word, my friend. Just preach the word. The word teaches, the word rebukes, the word corrects, the word trains in righteousness. This has been entrusted to you, Mike. It's been entrusted to you. Handle it with care, with boldness, and with great precision. Because one day soon you may be standing in front of a group of people, and those people will be saying, Mike, we don't like what you're preaching. And you have to stand there and you have to say, I cannot preach anything else. I must stand on the word of God. Just preach the word. The second thing, as God's servant, you must abide in the word of God if you're going to be equipped in shepherding the flock that the Lord has entrusted to you. You must abide in the word of God if you're going to be equipped in shepherding the flock. You're going to have phone calls, you're going to have text messages, you're going to have emails, unscheduled meetings, scheduled meetings, counseling sessions, meetings, but you must abide. That means getting up early, get up early. That means staying up late, stay up late, but you must abide in the word of God or you won't be able to shepherd effectively. When you fail to abide in the word of God, you will fail to pray, you will fail to shepherd your own family, and you will fail in leading the flock of God. Don't do that. There's many men that you can look to as examples who have done that. Learn from them. Don't be foolish. Bathe yourself in the word. Soak in it, even in difficult seasons. It is what we are to live on according to the word of God. Psalm 1 declares to delight in him. It says, blessed is man who walks not in the Here we go. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. And all they do is it prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Delight in the word. Be fruitful. Bathe yourself in the word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that has come out of the mouth of God. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1, it says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. No man will remain pure if he listens to the words of the world. He must listen to the words of our great Lord. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Always remember, Mike, you've never arrived. I have never arrived. There's nobody in this room who has arrived. We are to remain students of the word, always remaining humble, being able to learn even from our own children, learning from other church members, learning from other men and other women who may not have as much theological training as you do. We have never arrived. Many do not preach the scriptures, and when it is proclaimed, they don't want it. All the more reason why to abide and to stay in the word of God. We are always dependent upon the Lord for anything that is of eternal value. We have never arrived. No matter how many years you have followed the Lord or how many sermons you have preached, you are not the Lord. You are in great need of him. Point number 3. We live in a time when many do not want to hear, thus saith the Lord. But this is the truth you are to preach. This is your calling. This is what has been entrusted to you. You are to stand behind the pulpit, and whether or not you have pizzazz and you can move around, or people like your character, or if you sit down hunched over it and you read it just like Spurgeon did, you just preach the word of God. That's what you do. Many do not examine the scriptures. Many do not preach the scriptures. And when the scriptures are proclaimed, they do not want it. They want their ears tickled so they can elevate themselves, live powerless lives, and ignore the commands of God. Do not settle for the temporary applause of men. Do not settle for it. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. I encourage you, fear the Lord. Do not fear man. Preach the word of God. Do not be ashamed of the word. Preach it. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Equip the saints. If you're going to do that, you must preach the word. The whole idea is the church, the ecclesia, these are the ones who have been called out by God to be holy. You don't feed them the things of the world. You feed them the word of God. Otherwise, they won't be that. They will not be equipped. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's another fearful reality. That one day you and I will stand before the Lord and we will give an account for these souls that we are to be shepherding. That is a fearful thing. One pastor who had many souls in his congregation once said, talking to another pastor who had very little souls. The man with little souls says, man, I really wish I would have more souls that the Lord would entrust to me. And the pastor with many souls looked upon him and he said, on the day of judgment, when you stand before the Lord, you won't. It's like what you have right now is plenty. You take care and you shepherd those souls. For those 40 people that you have in Oregon, shepherd them well to the glory of God. Ignore the numbers. Ignore what man says. Ignore what the world says. Success is being faithful to a holy God. Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Endure suffering as God's servant. That is your calling. Remember, success is just being faithful. 1 Corinthians 3:7-8, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. God grows his church in his perfect timing. Remain obedient and do not become impatient. Trying to grow a church in your own pragmatic strength will result in an entertaining spectacle that the world does not need and will not last. Do not become prideful, thinking you are needed for the church to succeed. No church belongs to any man. Something I'm often reminded of, as much as I love the souls here, God loves these souls here way more than I do. His love is perfect. It is steadfast. It is immovable. The bride of Christ belongs to Christ. He purchased it by his blood. Work hard. You're working for the Lord. Do the work of an evangelist. Share the gospel in all seasons of life. Acts 20 verse 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Notice how it says, careful attention to yourselves, how you're living, what you're teaching, what you're preaching, if you're abiding in the word of God, and then to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. It was not my blood, it was not your blood, it was the blood of our risen Savior. 1 Peter 5:1-4 says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Many people talk much about this passage. The thing that really sticks out to me is the last verse. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory, meaning you may never get the applause or recognition from anybody in this world. But if you are being faithful to preach the word of God and to shepherd the flock of God, to be example to the flock of God, your reward is from the Lord. Hebrews 13:17. Usually this is preached and talked upon when you're having issues within the church and you want the church to listen to the pastor. But let's flip that around a little bit. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. That would be of no advantage to you. Mike, we have no idea what's going to happen when you get to Oregon. We have no idea if that congregation is going to love you for a long period of time and care for you and Brooke and Tommy really well. We don't know if it's going to be a joy for you to shepherd them or it's going to be lots and lots of groaning. But no matter what they do, it's still your job to shepherd them and appoint them to the Lord. And until they say, we can't have you preaching the word of God anymore, and we don't want to do what the word of God says, you stay there and you keep preaching the word of God. You are keeping watch over souls, and one day you will give an account to the Lord for those souls. It is a struggle. The Lord loves the church. We love the church, but we're not perfect. As John Piper would say, we are not professionals. We haven't arrived yet, but praise God, the Lord has a steadfast, perfect, immovable love. And point number four, finish well. Finish well. Many start well, but they don't finish well. Longevity, as you alluded to this morning, this is to be a goal of yours, to be a goal of us all as children of God. Think often about the God who saved you. Preach the gospel to yourself. He is the one who has gifted you and called you. And remember that God is sovereign. He will grow His church, but you have a divine calling and important responsibility to remain faithful. God's sovereignty, yes, but man's responsibility, absolutely. You're responsible to remain faithful. Finish well. It is with great sadness that I look over just my short span of life on this earth. Many men who have poured into me, a man who has done our wedding, a man who has been around and trained me and spent time with me, men who have been around and trained my wife and spent time with her and pointed her to the Lord, many men who have met with me one-on-one discipleship and poured into me, and almost all of them, almost, are no longer in ministry. They did not finish well. They saw the great desires and aspires of the things of this world that is but a moment, that is temporary. And it is heartbreaking. Finish well. I want to close with the reading of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, to remind you of your qualifications, brother. We promise to encourage you and to hold you accountable in these qualifications. And as I once said to another brother that went to a different area over the last few years, man, if you are struggling and you need encouragement, you need love, you need support, pick up the phone. Make that call. Let us come and love on your family. 1 Timothy 3:1, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Finish well. Finish well. You may be thinking, what do you mean by finishing well? Till the return of Christ, the Lord calls you home. Keep serving. There's a man named Ted at First Baptist Church Keller, and he still is one of the first people in the office every single day. And he walks in, and you can always hear when he walks. He's got little squeaky shoes. He walks down the hallway, and he's always faithful to ask me every single Monday, well, did they have some preaching on Sunday at your church? Yeah, we did. He's like, keep doing it. He's still pouring into the lives of men and women, even when he doesn't know it. Finish well. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the divine calling that you have given to Mike Samuels. And we thank you for his wonderful bride that you have provided by your hand, Brooke. Thank you for setting him apart, not only to be your child, but setting him apart to faithfully preach the word of God, to shepherd a flock. Father, I can honestly say, as a church, we love Mike and Brooke and Tommy. We're going to miss them, But we are also so excited to hear about how you're going to use them for your glory, for your kingdom, for your name in Oregon. Father, we ask that you would give them a hedge of protection. That anytime you enter into a deeper level of commitment and glorifying you, trials and hardships, spiritual warfare is going to happen, Lord. May they continue to abide in these coming days. May you make their marriage stronger. Father, may those in Oregon, may they welcome them with love and care. And may they submit to his leadership. May that church be known as a church that stands on the Word of God. Father, I pray that we would be faithful to pray for them, to encourage them, to write them snail mail letters, to send them an email, to send them a text. Father, thank you for answering our prayer of not only reaching one more with the gospel and teaching one more God's word, but for releasing one more to go and multiply. You're so good. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. And all God's people said, amen. In Acts 14, verse 23, it says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they have believed. Mike, Brooke, and I'm not sure where Tommy is, but if Tommy's going to come up here, this is definitely a gaining by losing day. It's losing you, but it's gaining for the kingdom of God, because we care more about the kingdom of God than we do this local body of believers. We ask that y'all come up here in these chairs and to grab a seat. Brooke, I know you don't like the color of these chairs or the fabric or anything, but I'm sorry, it's what we have. Then Mike, though the struggles of pastoral ministry will challenge every area of your life, we are confident the Lord's hand is on you for this amazing work. And Brooke, you're an amazing helpmate. We've seen your love and your care for Mike, and you not only know what Mike does, but you love his calling. That's amazing. So we praise God for that. So I'd ask if y'all are willing to come up here, and if you're comfortable, I know there's some introverts in the room, but if you come up here and lay hands on Mike and Brooke, and Brian Blaine is going to lead us in a time of prayer together over this beautiful family.